Morning, saints. It's good to be in the house of God and to be alive this morning. Man, I tell you, I'm feeling good. It's good to be alive. The closer you go to death, is the nearer, the more precious life becomes. I'm feeling good in my head, in my heart, in my soul, down to my very trousers. It's mine, it's bought and paid for. I'm feeling good. Anybody here like that this morning? You see, worship is a bifocal experience that brings joy. And if we are nice with God, we must be nice with people, especially God's people. And as I speak, I'm in a race against time, but I'm not in a hurry this morning. We start a bit late, and these are not normal times, so I hope you'll understand and shift your thinking. But the Sabbath is an oasis in the desert of routine living. It's a day when we reach the mountaintop of delectable experiences. It's a day when we make vigorous effort to touch the fires of God with the fingertips of your soul. Sabbath is a day of rest, is a day of joy. So we must not be flustered. So I'm going to ask you to just sit quietly and cool your feet on this table as we feast at the table of amazing grace. Is that all right? Okay. Okay. Our God is a God of might and miracles, is he not? Since he made a way through the Red Sea, has anybody attempted that or come anywhere near that? Have you ever heard anybody try to feed 5,000 people, men plus women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Have you ever heard anybody cause an oxen to swim? Have you ever heard of anybody who allowed 1.8 million people to cross Jordan at flood time, nobody drowned, with their assets? God is a God of might and miracle. His mercy is interminable. His grace is inexhaustible. His perfection is adorable. His love is unfathomable and his wisdom is unsearchable. Should you we really have a problem loving a God like this? Man, I tell you, just to talk about him get me excited. Life is full of challenges. Life is uncertain. It's very fragile. We are here today, gone tomorrow. But God is a good God. He's a good God. And the closer we go to death, is the more precious life becomes. God is a protector of his people. But understand, it's not going to be easy down here. As long as we live here, understand that we're on enemy territory and we're warfare. As you go through life, dance as if no one is looking. Dream as if everything is going to last forever. Live as if today will be your last. Love as if it will never hurt. I invite you to dance with me. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we look at verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan does not like any of us. His singular purpose is to destroy. If left to himself alone, none of us will be here. He walketh about. He doesn't stay quiet. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sober is from the Greek nepho. And then vigilant from the Greek Gregorio, watchful. The seriousness of the times and the difficulties that abounded led Peter to urge strict discipline upon every Christian. And then he said he's our adversary, from the Greek antidikos, translated an opponent, in a lawsuit, hence an enemy. The Greek employs a definite article identifying that the Christian's enemy is well known, is the adversary. The Bible likes him unto the devil, from the Greek diabolos. Behind all the persecution from which his readers were suffering, Peter sees the arch enemy. As a roaring lion, literally, as a lion roaring that is a hungry lion roaring to frighten and to catch its prey, an apt figure of the devil, who through persecution was seeking to frighten the Christian and thus to force them into apostasy. Understand, folks, that Satan is a master strategist. It is not all the while that he steps with his heavy boot and roar like a lion. Sometime he put on crepe soles and he's very subtle and it creeps upon him. Anybody here watch National Geographic Channel? I have seen the lion and the leopard family. They come through the grass and they screech and they tiptoe and they hide. And when they see, they are likely to see, be observed, they crouch. They relax and ease it. And they move steadily until they are within touching distance. And from my observation, invariably, the lion always go for the juggler. Don't care what angle he approach, he always catch the prey around here. And the more the animal try to resist, is the more he tighten his iron-like grip until he surrenders unconditionally to lion power. Satan is like that. He tried to catch you by surprise in an unguarded moment. And this is why the word is, be watchful, be vigilant. Satan is not off his watch for one moment, lest he loses an opportunity to bring us under his control. The word says, he walketh, that is seeking various means to conquer his prey. Peter may have been thinking of Job, where Satan is depicted as walking up and down in the earth. Satan doesn't relax in his easy chair. He's active. He's alive. One dear saint was asked. She said she could find something good to say about everybody. So they were asked, what would you say about Satan? He's a very persevering fellow. That's gospel. That's gospel. He doesn't give up. That's gospel. That's gospel. He's very persevering. He has a deterministic approach to life. But his singular purpose is to destroy. And then he seeks. No lion waits for the prey to come into the lair. Neither does Satan wait for his victims to fall into his snare. He roams at large to find and hunt down those whom he wishes to catch. And then he says, devour. Literally, gulps them down. Swallow down as a lion boasts the flesh of its prey. So the devil would tear the victims from the bosom of the church and swallow them up. Understand, saints, once we enter the Christian race, it is not a mimic battle. We are in it as a battle for our life. We are in warfare. And as long as we remain here on this earth, we are in enemy territory. The approach, therefore, is to always seek to be in a nearness to our God. In our own strength, we are mincemeat. Say, we can't handle Satan. We do die before we start. But with the help of God, we are more than conquerors, because when the roaring lion roars, then the conquering lions conquer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Am I talking sense to somebody this morning? All right, easy. Sometimes Satan don't catch us one way, but it catches another. Listen, I am kind of turned off, to put it mildly, when people say that they fall in love. To me, that implies an accident. And we have a lot of accidents around the place. Too many, as a matter of fact. You remember when Satan was cast out, the word says, Luke 10, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That was deliberate. God kicked him out, but he didn't have any control of his behavior. He fell. I'm saying to the young folks, going into a relationship, have your head well screwed onto your body. I'm not saying that you should behave cold, like his ice water run through your veins, but go into it with some emotion, but have your head well screwed onto your body. Some folks say they are in love and they feel they want to stand at the head, the hair is standing out, and they say they are in love. No, you are not in love. You are in the throes of an hormonal imbalance. And so this is why, take time to build a relationship. And let me give you it straight. A young lady, before she gives her heart to a man, she should first give her heart to God. It's not a half a person trying to find another half a person to catch them up to make one. You must be complete in yourself. One whole person connects with another whole person. The two become one and they merge together to make a new and to enjoy a new relationship. You must have something to offer. Listen to this. Why I'm so concerned. The hour that marks many marriages marks the end of one's usefulness for life. I said to the young and to the older ones, because some do it late in life, be careful who you marry. Some people will be saved because they are single. Some will be saved because they are married. But make sure that God is guiding you and leading you the thing before you get connected. Because too often, marriage, instead of being holy wedlock, turned out to be unholy deadlock. You hear the quote? The hour that marks many marriages marks the end of one's usefulness for life. He must have brought a zealous after righteousness, love the Lord with all his heart. And because he becomes connected to the wrong person, Satan ties up his life like a bundle of dead with that country. He can neither deen nor do, 7 or 11 nor move, because he has blundered. If there is ever a time God needs to guide us in a relationship, it's now. Because if God knows a guide us, Satan will make havoc of our life. Shipwreck of faith. You know, God has blessed me. I've been privileged to counsel young people. Help to guide your psychosocial and your psychosexual developments. Two young people. One was from the Commonwealth of Israel. The other one was from one of the nominal churches. Well, they liked each other. I was privileged to counsel both of them. And here the success story. The sister came to me first, and let's call her Sakila. Sakila says she liked Jonathan, not their real names. So I said to her, Sakila, look, you are in the truth. You cannot afford to bow. Even if he love you to the end of time, you will have to stand fast. He must come and embrace the truth. You mustn't go where he is. That was her case. He came to me now. Says, he loves his sister of Zion. I say, well, the only thing standing between you and this wonderful lady is the Sabbath. I'm not going to force you to. Oh, but you must know. So think about it and make up your mind. The long and short, in the interest of time, we prayed about the matter. The brother had her 30th birthday, celebrated in fine style. I almost cried when she said to me that I was a father she didn't have. Man, I was touched, but we prayed. We move on. After a while, he came back to me and he spake unto me, saying, I don't understand you. Yeah. He spake unto me, saying that he was getting Bible studies with one of the elders from one of our churches. Say, yes, to God be the glory. Honor him. And then, as if that wasn't it, came to me again and he said, I have decided to go all the way, not because of her, because I have found that the thing is right. He shortly after was baptized. Baptized, a full member of God's remnant church, and it's get better. He said to me, he has given me the date to put him through. December 2013. Long notice. God guides you when you wait. So you'll be now happy. You'll be at Joy Junction. Moving on, steady relationship. All because took heed to the word of God. And then, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Are you there with me now? Let's go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that he may be able to bear it. Listen, folk, temptations will always ring a doorbell, but you do not have to invite them into dinner. It's not a sin to be tempted. Sin comes when we yield to the temptation. As long as we're on planet Earth, we'll be tempted. But God says we must resist. Such as is common from the Greek anthropinos, that is normal for human beings, such as human beings can bear. The Corinthians were not to think that the conditions under which they were expected to live faithful lives were exceptional and they were peculiar. They had difficulties to meet that were peculiar to them. Their trials and temptations were no different from those experienced by men in the world around. And this statement seems to be added to the warning of the preceding verse as an encouragement to the Corinthians who were in danger of falling, must watch. But they could take heart because the temptations would not be beyond their strength to endure successfully. Folk, understand. God sometimes does not save from the storm, but in the storm. Sometimes we are at the end of our tether, we are just about to go, and just at the end of it, God sends on a hand to rescue us. God delivered those who trust in Him. But more than that, God is faithful. God is true to His promises, true to the call He has extended to man to serve Him. If He permitted temptations to come to His people that were beyond their strength to overcome them, His promises would appear wholly unreliable. The faithfulness of God is the Christian source of security against the enemy. There is no security independent on self. But if the believer relies entirely on the promises or covenant-keeping God, he will be safe. However, he should remember that God will not deliver him if he deliberately places himself on the enemy's ground by going where he is likely to meet temptation. Man, our God protects his people. For more reasons than one, I didn't start it, and I don't intend to stop it. But God has blessed me with the privilege to cater to people of all faiths and even the faithless. They asked for me. I didn't ask them. They invited me. I was invited to host a wedding at Hibiscus Lounge. The 16th of September. I can't forget the date. 16th of September, 2012. I said my prayers. And I went with a young man. At my age, I wasn't too stressed, and since I have to be working, I need to relax and ease myself. So we prayed, gave the young man the keys, and we were going on our merry ways. But those of you who drive, one of the worst things is when you see if rain just come and wet up the road, you ease yourself and cruise. But when a little sprinkling, you're likely to pick up a skid, just like that. I have read about Mount Nebo. I have read about Mount Everest. I have read about Bull Mountain and John Crow Mountain. And I knew about Mount Rasa. But never in my wildest dreams did I know that you'd ever come so close to death on Mount Rasa. See, it's not a script lined up. Late Elder of the Ephesus, Seventh-day Adventist Church and Andrews Memorial Church, died under tragic circumstances, leaving loving wife Erika, son-in-law... Son-in-law Brent, daughter Chevron, and grandson Jelani. Satan had the thing locked. And he swear that he would have caught me. The vehicle, while negotiating a corner, the young man picked up a skid, they gained traction, and the next thing you know, it was right on its side, up in the air. Spectacle. I had on my seatbelt, and I was like this. You ever see when an astronaut is suspended here? That's how I looked. And Jamaican people are very loving. They just need some leadership and some guidance. A taxi man we had passed, he came. And he said, "You all right?" Want to show us? I said, "Yes, but I had a little difficulty pulling up the knob because it was powered and everything was locked." So we powered it. And man, I climbed through the window. I have seen it on TV. I've watched on TV, but that's camera trick. This was real life drama. God specialized in the spectacular and the miraculous. And man, we came out. But then now, the vehicle on its side, that's a Hilux speaker. Now, fellow going to call for the wrecker. For wrecker to come from town or wherever to that, that's a lot of money that would get my poor pocket and me pregnant. But I'm telling you, God is real. I had on my suit and, well, I took off my coat and thing, but the suit, a gentleman gave me his umbrella and I was wet. You ever see when you throw water and dark? I was wet from the crown of me to the sole of my feet. And so the umbrella wasn't any good. Mud splashed upon my pants and things like that. At one time, I tried to make a call. Little discouragement flashed through my head space, but I said no. And so with the vehicle on the side, God bless us offer. And that day, three vehicles turned over at Mount Russell. I don't know what happened to the rest, but here am I. Asafa said, boss, that can turn over. I said, yes, but we need some manpower. So Asafa just swung his Benz Jeep and just lined up. And his brethren, the two Range Rover, came by. But these were young men. I'm not saying they're not had a good care, but they could move the thing. But shortly after, we saw three soldiers. And I get the distinct impression that these men are not married. In the land of the street, the men them back trunk. The men just line up behind the vehicle. I just push it and it just drop and boom. I say yes. And I say, all right, ease yourself. Just make the aisle circulate and thing. And we drove. We spun around and drove to Hibiscus Lounge. People from Bermuda, people from Canada, people from England, people from America, and the rest of us from yard were there to listen to the words of my mouth and the cogitation of my heart. And man, I went and I dusted off myself. The diesel perfume gone through the window, because rain just washed with that. But nevertheless, I tied up myself, and once I got the mic, everything turned loose. Man, we had a glorious hallelujah time. Satan's a liar. God defeated death. Because we are a Satan prophet, God give me life. Man, I couldn't die because my hour is not yet come. My work is not yet finished. God has a work for me to do. I am saying to God be the glory, great things they've done. And man, Satan right now is defeated. He is weeping like a mangy dog. His tears are between his legs. He's in some dark alley eating, drinking milk. But I am here singing God praises. And as long as God give me life, the kingdom of darkness will come under pressure. Yes. Yes. Greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. And then, Satan has tried to work in my life. I have a brother. I have been praying for this brother nearly 30 years. He got his chartered in 1984. And I said to him, it would be good for him to take his stand. I don't encourage. You say the truth, folks. Marriage has its pains, but celibacy has no pleasure. Except a brother is specially called of God, and I need to know that. I want to provoke him to good works and encourage him to take his stand. I don't subscribe to John the Baptist fraternity in auditors and culture. I believe when a young man comes of age, he should call something to order. And the church can rise up and call him blessed, and God can be well pleased. So I encourage him along those lines, but he didn't take heed. In the interim, he found a nice young lady, but she had to migrate and he would have to start over, so she went down the window. But Satan brought two women in his life, all hell turned loose. One, in the words of Shakodemos, she had pretty face but bad character. She made life hell for him. She practiced some of the strongest clarendon obia on my brother. She planted a mango tree, and the mango tree was bearing. And he got so mad, he cut it down and burned it. And when it burned, I was told that she was boiling for fire. Like the curse was reversed. You understand? And then, the other one, tried to use stratagem to test his faith. But little did they know that he had a praying brother. The family prayed. Listen, man, the song goes like this. I know one prayer me pray. Me pray in the night and me pray in a day. When me get down upon me knee, Satan and demons have to run away. Man, we prayed and we cry unto God. God gave him deliverance. I'm happy to report to you that on the 8th of September, we put him through in fine style up by Boonall. Man, what Boonall is, one fine glorious hallelujah wedding. People from America came though, and then one of his wife's sister, he's a professor, the scientist, I encourage him. Man, she just fall in love with me. She said, anything she have from here on in, I have to deal with it. I said to God, the great things they have done. They asked, what man am I? And they're asking for my credentials. But I was just cruising. I was keeping them happy. But I am happy for brother. He has taken the first step. Praying for him now that he will give his heart to God and working on it. I'm saying, don't back away or be afraid from trials and temptation. Trials and difficulties are raw materials out of which God shapes character and virtue. Sometimes the way we react to trial is directly proportional to our connection and our faith in God. When Jacob was going through a hard time, he said, all of these things are against me. When the Apostle Paul was going through his troubles, he said, none of these things move me. When Job was going through calamity, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in God. Don't care what happened. When our backs are against the wall, let us look up and lean on God. Trust in God and do the right, because we must come through. God has never lost a battle. He's still in the saving business. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies, and he sanctifies. Understand, folks, that is not conclusive evidence that a man is a Christian because he gets ecstatic or because he behaves joyfully under extraordinary circumstances. Listen to this. Holiness is not rapture. It's an entire surrender of the will to God. It's living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is trusting God in trial, in darkness as well as in light, and resting without question and confidence in his love. This is holiness. Some people are too cute to shout and too holy to holler. But listen, when God is moving up in your life, cry out and shout. Because when the weakest saint gets on his knees, the demons tremble. Listen to this. The gap between where we are and where we ought to be has got to be spanned in a very short time. The inspired writer says, in the heart renewed by divine grace, love is the principle of action. It governs the impulses, controls the passion, allays strife, subdues enmity. This love cherishes the soul, sweetens the life, and shall have a refining influence on all around. My God, if we have Christians like those, we will not have to preach so much. God must have control over life, and he must be transformed daily by the renewing of your mind. Surrender. And it says, suffer not, permit to tempt beyond your strength and ability to endure. God uses experience to develop character, the means of accelerating our growth in grace, and he gives us the victory as we trust in him. It says that he might be able to provide a way of escape, a way out of the temptation. And then we come to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Timothy. Hebrews chapter 12. Reading verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Compassed or surrounded, wherever we turn in sacred history, we find witnesses to the principle that faith and faithfulness triumphs over every obstacle. Cloud of witnesses. Background. Athlete. athlete goes to tremendous preparation to be victorious in the race. But sometimes they are inspired, turned on by the support they get from the spectators, a cloud of witnesses. And it says, weight from the Greek, ogos, weight, burden, impediment. Here in the latter sense, ogos refers to the weight of anything superfluous, such as clothing, which might tend to hinder or handicap the runner. Men who are motivated by faith will not hesitate to dispose of anything and everything that might keep them from achieving their goals. What is holding you back this morning? What is holding us back this morning? Did you know that bad mind is a weight? Did you know that covetousness is a weight? Anything that smells and tastes of sin is a weight. This is the only weight management program that is successful as prescribed. I have seen people try to eat, to drink black coffee, water, coconut, and crackers, and the weight does not even move. They go to wedding and they splurge. They go to parties and all delicacies. And Jamaicans have a way, they are good at eating calories. They are not good at counting calories and the calories, and they usually end up having the figures to prove it. Overweight. Some folks could not even run if their life depended upon it. As we embark on the Christian journey, we must make the type of preparation that will enable us to go forward under any circumstances. Anything that would keep us back, shed it. Cut yourself loose. Don't carry baggage. As a matter of fact, sometimes you have to shift from certain type of company. Some people are bad news. They are hindering spirits. You have to be careful. And then it says, eat the sin that does so easily beset us and has some besetting sin. The tendency to evil, to distract. Sin is not something you play with. The story is told of a zookeeper, the London Zoological Department. He used to perform many works so people entertain and excite them. Maybe he got to change the process. But one fine day, Satan got into that serpent. Usually wrap it around him and demonstrate, and everybody shout bravo and they clap. Felt good. Got a lot of attention. But one fine day in the process of carrying through his rituals, the serpent got wrinkled and stuck him right between the eyes. He began to stretch. The serpent began to constrict. And you just, your bones began to pop. And in less than no time, he was as dead as a doornail. I'm saying, for years, some folk have been hugging up sin, caressing it, petting and pampering it and powdering it and putting it into their bosom. Leave it! It is destructive. The only thing that will bar you out of the kingdom of God is sin. On the other side, the only thing that exalts us and lives up is righteousness. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is our approach to any people. When we look to Jesus, we come into verse 2 in a moment. When we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, we will eventually see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We will glory in the cross. Because despite its shame, it's the instrument of our salvation. And then, with patience, euphone, endurance, fortified in the face of successive difficulties and disappointment, patience to accept the reward at the end of the course. The race of the Christian, by which character is developed. And then it says, looking unto Jesus. We are to look to Jesus for strength to overcome. every difficulty and to endure unto the end. Listen, folk, there may be wickedness in high and low places, but I submit without fear of contradiction. God is the only person totally incapable of letting us down. When every other human fail, when everybody else fail, look to Jesus. You remember Peter? Peter, the first brother to walk on water. But somehow, in a moment, he lost focus and took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. Listen, look steadfast, straight. To the young believers, to the new believers, I'm saying, you did not choose this church by looking in the telephone directory. God brought you here to expose you to truth for the salvation of your soul. Walk with God. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Young Billy Sunday came to the church as a young Christian. He was wondering if he would last a furlough. An aged person gave him this advice. Spend 15 minutes of each day talking to God. Spend another 15 minutes listen to God talk to you. Spend another 15 minutes talk to others about God, and backsliding will never be written against your name. Isn't that good counsel? It's time you use to build relationship. If you are too busy to spend time with God in your private devotional life, in His presence, then you are really too busy. You have folks who are going nowhere fast. They are directionally dysfunctional. They have lost their address. They don't know where they are going. They appear to be successful. But God is out of the picture. Listen, folks. If you can't make it with God, without God you cannot, without God you cannot succeed. With God you cannot fail. There's no failure in God. Men crown success, but God crowns faithfulness. All He requires of us, that we be found faithful. 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 And then, the finisher, the perfecter, the justifier, longing of the Christian experience, lay behind the foundation from repentant dead works, and to go unto perfection. We have not got long to stay here. Not only are we in the time of the end, we're in the end of time. One great scientist, Harold C. Urey, he stated that this world is moving towards a precipice over when it falls. There will be no hope of recovery. Prophets of doom are always in the land. According to the world standards, we are minutes to midnight. But according to God's timetable, we are minutes to daybreak. Walk in the light. When we, the most difficult burr to be picked from the clothing of our personality is selfishness. When we have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, we still have self to subdue and besetting sins to overcome. It was the great Lord Tennyson who said, "Ah, that a man might rise in me, that the man I am may cease to be." Listen, folks, let us swallow our pride. It's non-fattening. Let us learn to humble ourselves at the feet of God. If we must walk upright before men, we must first bow before God. Let us learn to trust God and do the right. As I see it, things are not going to be getting much better down here. The economy is rough. And if you think it is rough yet, you don't see anything yet. This is just the smoke, the fires to come. But I'm saying, God is an excellent provider. I have been young and now mature. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his children. And if he used ravens to feed Elijah, don't put anything past him. He can't do anything. But God makes sure that his children will never feel forsaken. For verses of scripture, few men may grope, My life is hid under the microscope. Lord, make me a text easy to see that men may read of the gospel according to me. This is my surrender. It is my commitment. Is it yours?